Oh, that miserable stock market. Actually, January was terrific, judging from some major stock indexes. I'm David Brancaccio. It's a matter of record that 2022 was a lousy year for stock indexes, but the first month of 2023 seems to have broken the fever. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index went up nearly 11% in January. The Dow was up about 3%, the S&P up about 6%. On this first day of February, let's consult Susan Schmidt. She's head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board about the boom in stock prices that we saw last month.
Good morning.
I know you like to be future-oriented, but can we just pause and reflect on January, the month we just completed? Stock market came roaring back.
We've seen a really good start to the year. I think investors have approached the year and the start of the year that glass is certainly half full rather than half empty. And they're looking more positively towards what might be in store for us in the economy this year.
Yeah, maybe the worst of the interest rate increases to fight inflation are over. At least that's their thesis. There was some data yesterday about wage inflation that fit into that narrative. This morning, the private sector calculation of number of people added to payrolls came in much lower than expected and also much lower than the month before. That fits into the inflation is easing mindset.
Absolutely. And we've seen that data trending to support that argument over the last couple of months. So investors are really taking that to heart and optimistic that this is going to be what the Fed needs to see to continue their lowering the pace of interest rate increases. The market still expects interest rates to increase. And in fact, Federal Reserve Chairman Powell is coming out today after their meeting talking about what their plans are. But the market thinks that the pace is decreasing and that maybe we're nearing the end of this.
And then the official reading on jobs is not till Friday. I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for.
They are, but today was the private payroll reading. Again, data was showing numbers that are indicating there's less of a strain on labor and the cost of labor. That's what investors are looking for. That's certainly one of the pressures that has been driving inflation. And so all of these factors, I think, are making investors more optimistic that perhaps that soft landing of the economy is possible and that we'll be all right as we go through the rest of this year.
Susan Schmidt, head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Both the S&P and the NASDAQ are up 26% over 3 years from the beginning of February 2020, just before pandemic hit the U.S. And as Susan mentioned, we'll hear from the chair of the Federal Reserve in just over 4 hours about the decision on interest rates. Market players are betting it'll be just a wee increase, 0.25 percentage point amid signs the inflation's calming down. The betting could be wrong, and a larger increase is not impossible. The Fed can also be a money-making machine for these United States, but that party may be over. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
The Fed is a nonprofit, a public institution with a public mission to keep inflation low and maximize the number of people with jobs. If it happens to make a profit in the process, that money goes to the U.S. Treasury. But former Fed advisor Danielle DiMartino Booth says right now,
the Fed is losing money, and the Fed is losing about $2 billion a week. The Fed is losing upwards of $8 billion a month.
To understand why, you have to go back to the start of the pandemic recession. In 2020, the Fed started shoring up the struggling economy with something known as quantitative easing, or QE. The central bank bought up treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities that flooded the economy with money and kept credit flowing. William English is a former Fed economist now teaching at Yale.
That meant that the economy was stronger. That means tax revenues were higher. That means that spending on safety net programs was lower.
But QE is turning out to be expensive. That's because the Fed bought those treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities when interest rates were low. The return on those investments is paltry. Meanwhile, since then, the Fed has raised interest rates to slow the economy and cool inflation. Andrew Levin is another former Fed economist now at Dartmouth College.
That means the interest that it's paying on its IOUs is much, much higher than the interest that it's earning on the securities that it bought over the last several years. And that's very costly.
Levin figures the Fed will lose close to $1 trillion over the next 10 years. He says the Fed's quantitative easing definitely helped the economy when the pandemic hit. The question is,
could the Federal Reserve have wrapped up the program by late spring or summer of 2020? Did it make sense to continue it longer?
Levin says it did not, and now we're paying the price. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The seven Colorado River states have blown past another federal deadline to come up with big cuts in the use of water. Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada agreed on a proposal to keep the river's rapidly shrinking reservoirs stable, but California is the holdout. Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
California uses more Colorado River water than any other state, and its rights to that water are the oldest and most legally entrenched.
Meaning that they have priority to the water.
And in theory, should be last in line to face cuts, says Nusha Ajami at Lawrence Berkeley National Labs. But the worst Western drought in a millennium is sort of blowing up the rule book.
We need to make permanent changes rather than trying to come up with band-aid solutions that carry us from one crisis to the next.
With the states unable to reach consensus, we'll see if the federal government makes good on its threat to impose cuts, and if it actually has legal standing to do so.
There's a lot of lawyers looking really closely at that question.
And John Fleck, a water policy researcher at the University of New Mexico, says they're coming up with a lot of different answers. But
there's not enough water for all the lawyers to be right.
He says cuts have to come from somewhere. Because right now, we're using more Colorado River water than nature can sustain. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.